It's great to take part in this video today and to serve you, River Church in Slough. It's just tremendous the way that you're wanting to pioneer into that community. And I'm very aware that in COVID, that's a very different thing for us to do. But in this wonderful series that we're looking at, we've got a great opportunity today as we look at Jesus and how he really brought God to us, brought God to earth. And we're going to start by looking at one of my favourite passages, and then that will give a context for all of the readings that we've been doing this week. It's from 1 John chapter 1, and this is from the Passion Translation. The living expression. We saw him with our own eyes. We gazed upon him and we heard him speak. Our hands actually touched him. The one who was from the beginning, the living expression of God, the life giver, made visible. We've seen him and we testify to this truth. The eternal life giver lived face to face with the Father, has now dawned upon us. So we proclaim to you that we have seen and heard about this life giver, so that you may share and enjoy life together. For truly, our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. You can just hear the energy of John. And as we've been looking at these readings in the Gospels this week, there's an overall pattern, there's an overall umbrella of ideas that there is emerging that really portrays what Jesus was like and really talks about his ministry. And the most amazing claim of Christianity is this: God came to earth. God became human. God became incarnate. God walked the talk. God was with us. He lived it out. He lived out in the pain, the suffering, the joy, the disappointment. And more than that, do you know what? He lived out in the everyday life, the boring life, the days when you're just walking on the road from one ministry place to another. It wasn't particularly exciting. He understands every dynamic of our life and what it is to carry our faith through that. And really, he built on a series of pillars I want to talk about. The first pillar he built round, which you will see from the readings this week, is teams and community. Right from the very beginning, one of the first things he did was build a team. He invested in community. He invested in discipleship, in just giving away the greatness and the beauty of who he was, giving away understanding of what the Godhead was really about. He taught in synagogues. He taught in the community to share his learnings. And that's where he had some of his most biggest arguments and the most opposition. That's when they tried to stone him after doing that. So you can see also that he was always in people's homes, wasn't he? He was continually inviting himself for dinner. You know, if Jesus had been around today, he might be inviting himself around to yours, because that's what he did. Whether it was the tax collectors or the prostitutes or whatever, he was just inviting himself around. He was always in people's homes. And some of the greatest miracles he did around people's homes, it's just extraordinary. And the other thing that Jesus betrayed, as I've already touched on, is that everyone is in. Everyone is in. Nobody is excluded. I don't think I can think of a religious leader who has so powerfully shown and demonstrated the great scale and breadth of compassion as Jesus. Whether you're a tax collector, hated by the community, I mean really, really hated, whether you were a prostitute, whether you were poor, whether you were the Samaritan woman at the well who was despised by the Gentiles, whoever you were, Jesus went to you and met you. The blind, the suffering, those with leprosy, the unclean, those that were untouched by society, those were the ones that Jesus touched and went to be with. And of all of those people groups, there were two that Jesus targeted again and again and again. And those two were the poor and the children. And you can be sure that if you want to express something of the love of Christ into your community in Slough, if you are looking after children and the poor, you won't be going far wrong. Because that was a priority of Jesus in his ministry. If you are reaching out to those that the world has rejected, you won't be going too far wrong. Because that's what Jesus did. He took those radical steps of engaging at a personal level and identifying with those people by going to their homes and sitting and eating with them, which had tremendous ceremonial significance in that day around acceptance, ownership, recognition, love, and just fun, just enjoying life together, just experiencing everyday life together. And that's why the whole thing of hospitality, of us opening up our homes in this COVID time when we can, or opening perhaps our gardens at the moment, or whatever way we can, is so at the centre of what Ness has been talking about the brightness where river can shine. I believe it's in this way, if we open up our homes and open up our hearts, and we are courageous in doing that, perhaps with people we've never met before or engaged with before, we will be at the heart of what the gospel really is. In my road in Marlow, it's like we've discovered community. It's like all of a sudden these people along the road are on this WhatsApp group and we're massively into community. And last Easter, for instance, we just put out lots of Beanie Babies on a tree for the kids. And basically all the kids down the road just got the Beanie Babies. And we said, Happy Easter, happy time to celebrate the Christ, have a Beanie Baby. It was amazing. And the sense of community has been built. People have been sharing wine, sharing possessions, leaving them on the front of the lawn, saying, if you want this, take it. It's been amazing. I had an accident and I cut my head in the summer. And immediately the neighbour came round, who was a doctor, and he helped sort me out. And, you know, I had condolences and people saying, I hope you're all right, I hope you're not too ill. Suddenly we've discovered community in a new way in our own communities. And here's the thing. Church is good at community. We've done it for years. We've just done it. We know how to do community. We know how to do these things. So it isn't a big stretch for us. And it's almost like, feels like that society is kind of catching up and being caught in this extraordinary time into the essence of what the gospel is, which is sharing our lives together. And that's the biggest thing that Jesus did when he came. He just shared his life. He just shared his reality, warts and all. Even in the garden, when he's broken, he's totally broken. He's real. He's honest. He's Jesus. And that's how we can be in this day. And I'm really excited about that. Perhaps one of the most controversial things Jesus did actually was attack religion. His most savage words were for those who were the Sadducees and the Pharisees, when he made a whip and cleaned out the money changers at the temple. His most ferocious condemnation was of the religious people of the day. And there's an idea that is at the core of Jesus' anger. And this is the idea. What these leaders had really done was form an institution, and it institutionalized a relationship with God. And around that, they wrapped loads of laws that weighed people down. And to be honest, there are times when the church has sounded very like that in this century. We stood for what you can't do rather than what you can do. We've told people all the things they can't do, but we haven't told them what they can do. And that's what Jesus did. So he replaced law with grace. He replaced religion and a barrier to God with acceptance and openness. He created pathways for people who felt they could never get there, such as the Samaritan woman again. That's what he did. He understood the power of grace over law. And the book of Galatians again is all about Paul, further on, encouraging the church not to lose that grace. So this is something that we need to work at. It was something the early church had to work at, was not to step back into law, step back into ritual, step back into things that put a weight on people's lives and hearts and minds, but actually to release something that brought freedom. Sometimes I've heard preachers say things, even in River, like, well, if you pray and read your Bible more, you will. Well, I'm sorry, but that's actually not the gospel. That's not what the gospel is about. The gospel isn't about doing more in that way. The gospel is about being more and understanding more. It's about loving more. It's about reading your Bible because you really, really want to. It's about praying because you really, really want to. And when there are days when that doesn't feel good, there is grace for you. But when there are days when that feels great, there's energy and there's life for you as well in those words and in those phrases. So what Jesus was really after was a dynamic relationship with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And his last words to the apostles that we see in the book of John is all about the coming of the Holy Spirit. I will put within inside of you somebody, something, a spirit that will really connect you with the Father. And do you know what? It's going to be so strong, it's going to be better than if I'm around. Can you imagine them trying to believe that with him standing there right in front of them? But that was his message. The Spirit is coming so that you may have a richer, a deeper, a more profound relationship with the Father. Jesus was lighting a way for us to have a profound relationship with God. That's what was really going on. So what he was really doing and all that, the next point, is he was revealing the power of the Trinity. He was revealing the relationship between the Trinity. It's extraordinary that the first act that we see in Scripture, in Genesis, is performed by the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit form the earth, form the waters. It talks about them having a discussion together and sharing together, and out of that, co-creating. And that principle of co-creating in our lives through the Trinity is still there today and is the way that God functions with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. And what part of this series is about is really understanding more deeply how to engage with those three elements of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about which one of those three that you engage with most easily. I want you to be encouraged by that. And I want you to think, is there one of those three that for you, you find it a bit harder to understand? And I want to encourage you to go on your journey, to be a pilgrim, and to seek out the element of the Godhead at this point in your life. So let's just sit for a moment and just reflect on that. Just reflect. In this season, who do you want to be revealed to you at a more profound level? Is it Jesus? Is it the Holy Spirit? Or is it the Father? Just sit with that for a moment. Allow God's heart to touch your heart. Allow his kindness to come bathe you now. Because it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance and to truth and to love. And of course, ultimately, that revelation came through sacrifice. Christ had to die that the Spirit might come, that the true nature of God might be fully revealed, and the work of God might be fulfilled, and the kingdom of God might be built. And a very important thing to understand is this is a kingdom. It's led by a king. And Jesus was always talking about the kingdom and growing the kingdom and living as kingdom people, as serving the king. He was continually wanting to reveal the kingship of God, the nature of God, the fact that God is our king and that we are his joyful servants. So, what are the foundations of the church? Because that's what he also built. Everything he was doing was building towards the time when he wouldn't be here and his whole ministry and energy and life would be expressed through this extraordinary thing called church. One of the things I've come to appreciate in lockdown is the diversity of church. I used to get frustrated by that. But I'm honest, I got frustrated by people not believing what I believed. But people not walking in what I walked in and not understanding or, say, believing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, believing in healing or believing in power or believing in looking after the poor or believing in inclusion for everyone. Then I come to realise that what is so beautiful is that each member of the family has part of the revelation, has part of the picture. And together we are this most wonderful, great big collage that captures the nature of God. I did some work this week with a Benedictine order. It was amazing. And I realised I had so much to learn from the Catholics about mystery and about silence. There were some deep learnings there. And as I spoke to these leaders of a Catholic school, I realised they really understood some of the things that are really exciting in our culture around mindfulness. They really understood that. So the final thing that Jesus did was he laid the foundations for the church. And the lovely thing about what we're doing in River at the moment is we've got kind of two devotional strands going on. We've got our daily readings, which are brilliant, which are really focused around scripture and understanding scripture and the Holy Spirit inspiring us and bringing it alive. But also we've got Lectio going on, which is about prayer. And that's a beautiful balance to have in our culture. I think it's a really intelligent piece of thinking by our leadership. I love it. And in Lectio, they talk about the foundations of the church, the practices of the church. How do spiritual communities express the life of Jesus together? So if you're not doing Lectio as well as the readings, I encourage you to do it. But let me just finish by giving you these foundational steps. Mission, a commitment to reaching. Learning, a commitment to growing in the knowledge of God. Worship, a commitment to adore him. Prayer, a commitment to lean into him. Creativity, a commitment to express him in all that we do. Justice, a commitment to fight with him for the poor. And hospitality, a commitment to love on our communities and on our world with him. Thank you. Bless you in Slough. And may you walk in those six practices. And I pray that this little chat has been of some hope. Thank you for being the Jesus people in your community.